Welcome to Females and Fine Fettle, from Wiped Out to Wealthy. This is where conscientious women entrepreneurs and women living like a boss come to learn about balancing their personal and professional wellness with ease. If you have the enthusiasm, motivation, and grit to make it happen, then listen up every Monday. To be sure you don't miss an episode, sign up for weekly updates at femalesandfinefettle.com. The following discussion is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. Please don't apply any of this information without first speaking with your doctor. Now, here are your hosts, Denise Pasquinelli and Dr. Michelle, your natural women's health advocates who blend the wisdom of ancient healing traditions and the science of functional medicine.
Holy smokes, ladies. I am so stoked to introduce you to our guest today. Katie Pasternak is someone that I came across probably like a few months ago, and I've just been blown away with her presence, her content, her vibe, the value that she offers her audience. She's one of a kind, and she is so awesome. So Katie's basically this fun, fiery, very outspoken transformation coach that helps women embody new levels of leadership so they can create businesses and lives that turn their soul on. She blends spirituality, quantum physics, hypnotherapy, and intuitive development so women can actually experience true transformation instead of, you know, reading about it. Her podcast, her YouTube channel, and her Instagram have become an energetic vortex of inspiration and modern day personal growth. So I'm just so stoked for you to hear this interview. So tune in and welcome Katie Pasternak. Okay, so welcome Katie, and let's introduce yourself to our audience. Let them know what you're all about.
Yes. So my name is Katie. I'm a women's leadership, business, and transformation coach. I wear a lot of different hats in the things that I do in the world, but primarily my jam is on helping people in the next step for them. I'm also a hypnotherapist and kind of like a deep dive into personal growth work, to spiritual work, to manifestation. I help people with a lot of different things. I create content for a lot of different things. I have a podcast, Sexy Soul Radio. I'm just all over the place in a lot of beautiful ways. But I think, like you too, we're just all about helping people embody their best selves and create their best lives. So I do that in a multitude of fashions. I hope that gives a little insight. It's always hard for me to say, what do I do? I'm like,
so many things. I love it. What was your key driving force to becoming a woman entrepreneur?
I've always had like an entrepreneur's mindset. Like even when I was younger, I was always looking for a side hustle to make more money. So I think that like just that creativity and like desire to expand my life, both financially and creatively, has always been there for me. And once I kind of went through my own spiritual awakening and healing journey, I mean, it was really just a soul pull that made me move out of corporate and into coaching. And it was kind of just, it's on my path, you know? So it was just, it's always been a piece of me, and it just got expanded through my own life experience.
Oh, that's awesome. So you were in the corporate world, like 9 to 5?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
How has the topic of like wealth and worth played into your business or your life?
Oh my God. It was everything. And oh man, I'm really grateful actually that I did a lot of self-worth work on myself, just because of my experience with body image and a lot of shame from my past. So the worth component was kind of in me before I decided like, I'm going to coach and help people with this. So it wasn't as much about being like, am I worth this amount of money? Like, am I worth it? I knew that I was worth it. It was like, let me do what I can to make the work that I'm doing worth it. And when I started coaching, I never do anything from like a small scale. So it was never like, oh, let me just match what I'm making in my corporate gig and like whatever. I knew that I wanted to be rich. I knew that I wanted to like create a lot of wealth for myself, because I knew that that was going to allow me to not only experience the greatest things that life has to offer, but serve from a much better place. So money and healing that relationship dynamic has been like this evolutionary piece, but it's been one that I've honestly really enjoyed. Like, really empowering for me just to step into my level of leadership and trusting that the finances that I'm creating in my business are having an even more powerful effect on the people that we serve. I just believe that money is an exchange of energy. And the more that I up-level myself financially, the more value I have to offer.
Oh, totally. I have that same conversation like with my clients, like as because there's the shame, right, around money a lot of times, around like there's guilt, shame, all of that icky stuff. But it's like the more money that we're able to work with, the more people we're able to help. And I think that that's so, so, so huge. It sounds like as your sort of self-worth increase, your wealth also increases. Is that right?
Yes, 100%. You know, it's like the self-worth and really owning our power. You know, I see that as a really big theme in the clients that I work with, who are mostly coaches. It's like, you know, we can get into the self-worth of being like, yeah, like I love myself, like whatever, and that like, you know, very emotional place. But when we get into that, like, I am in my power, like I am here to deliver something powerful, like I got this, I am a leader, like that, really owning that, that's what creates that like polarizing effect, is what at least I've seen with women and their ability to create themselves.
Love that. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, as an entrepreneur myself, I know it's not always easy. So how do you stay motivated when things don't really go as planned?
The motivation for me is not negotiable. This is a soul contract for me. There's no way that I would ever be able to stop doing what I'm doing. But in the moments when things feel difficult, I pause and I really connect myself back to my spiritual practice. And honestly, that's what creates flow within my life. And I'm very much of an action oriented person. And like, I'm a high, like shit. But because I've gone so deep into like my spiritual practice, I know that there's a way to do this with flow. So when I notice that things aren't working out the way that I want, I know it's because of me and I know that I'm out of alignment. And so it's really just about like going, like pausing what's going on externally, coming back to myself internally, making sure that my energy is in alignment, making sure that I'm really listening to my intuition instead of listening to my ego's greed, and making sure that place. And that's when everything really works out.
I love that. We talk a lot about alignment in our shows. And I think that that's so, so, so key. And also just that self-responsibility too, and not playing that victim or that like, you know, oh, woe is me, this is happening to me. Like, no, like we are manifesting, right? Like what's going on in our lives. And I love that you, you know, take that moment and step back and like get re-engaged with that and your purpose. It's so awesome.
Yes, yes.
Katie, can I just want to ask, I'm really process oriented and I love when people talk about what those spiritual practices are for them. So could you give us an example of what it looks like when you are like maybe spinning out a little bit? What do you do in your own soul path?
Yeah, there's a few different things in my toolbox, like we all have. I'd say that the biggest piece in my life, and not only in my personal life, but the work that I do with other people, is accelerated states of consciousness through meditation. So I'm really big into deep, deep theta wave state meditations that are at these very, very deep level where we're entering this quantum field of oneness, so to speak. So I'm not as much of a meditator for mindfulness. I'm for like connection to source and for like that vibrational rising of my body to get those intuitive downloads to manifest. I'm literally connecting to the source. So that for me is what gets me back into that place, whether it is just the feeling of connection or I'm getting a download or I'm creating something with a visualization practice. It's from a different state. I know that I need to get out of my conscious mind, which is really what those deeper states of meditation help me do. And then other than that, it's really questioning myself. I do really silly things sometimes. Like I'll sit in one chair and I'll ask myself a question and then I'll move to another chair and answer from a different part of like my intuition,
I love it.
My subconscious or whatever I want to talk to that day. I'll sit mirror and I'll look into my eyes and I'll start to open up a dialogue. I'm really just about like inquiry. Like I'm a really deep like inquiry person. When something is not going right, I know that there's a part of me that needs to be voiced. And so those are usually my go-tos.
I love it. Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great question. Katie, what book or person has inspired you the most?
There's so many. Oh my God, there's so many. The one that just popped up immediately was Joe Dispenza. His work has had a huge influence on my work that brings his into a really practical application. For everyone listening who doesn't know him, you need to know him. I'd recommend the book, Break the Habit of Being Yourself. Yes. He's like phenomenal when it comes to all things deeper states of meditation for transformation. He's been huge. I'm also a huge Bob Proctor fan, not gonna lie. Bob is a fan. I love Bob Proctor. But then, you know, there's always like people like Wayne Dyer. I mean, there's so many, but those are ones that come to mind immediately.
Awesome. We'll link to those. I love Joe Dispenza's book. That book in particular was pretty game changing. The way that he like breaks down the science behind the so-called woo, right? Like he does such a good job. Yeah. I love it. What is the most terrifying, risky, or profound decision you've had to make in regards to your business?
Ooh, that's such a good question. You know what? I know this is going to sound annoying to people listening, but I really don't think I've ever made a terrifying decision. Everything has always felt like it was the next best step for me. I mean, sure, there's been moments where it was like I was investing in a mentor that really stretched me financially, or when I hired my team, that was probably one that was like, this is a stretch. But nothing for me has ever felt like it really become. I'm not really attached to the outcome of things, which has really, really served me. So for me, it's always about like what actually does feel right now. So yeah, I'm sorry. That might not be the answer that you wanted, but that's the truth.
No, I mean, you brought up some great points. I mean, mentorship and bringing on a team, which are two things that I think are priceless, like invaluable tools to have as an entrepreneur, but they can be terrifying. They really can be terrifying because it's a large sum of money. I mean, I'm in a mentorship myself and it's like, it's a lot of money and it's a big investment. But I think that when you do kind of take those leaps, you're really, you know, you've got skin in the game and it pushes you in ways that you would not have been pushed otherwise. So, yeah.
Totally.
So has your health ever like come between you and your business? I know you've had some things prior to, I think, your actual coaching business, right? But anything that you want to talk about?
Yes. Oh my God. I'm really excited that you asked that question because I was just talking to someone about this. So as I've hired my team and created more space for myself and my business, I put up the priority of fitness again. And it was honestly a little bit humbling to be like, holy shit, like I've actually let my health like down. Muscle in my business. And it wasn't like anything debilitating, but like, it was not okay that I did that. Really not okay. And I'm kind of reflecting back now to see just those moments. Like I used to be a bodybuilder and, you know, all into fitness. And then I kind of went through a healing journey where I was like, no yoga, like all the things. But yeah, there were times in business when I was like building it from the ground up that I was like, no, I'm just gonna like stretch. Let me just get in a quick 10-minute walk and like, you know, like emotionally eat because I'm stressed out. Like there were definite times where it was like health was not taking a priority because I was so, so focused on the business. And I look back now and I like definitely have some learning curve. And now health is like one of the top priorities again, because I have the space. I think that it's like, we don't prioritize health. It's going to get like thrown off to the side. Even if you're like totally on your game, as soon as you get into business, it's like a totally, totally different experience. It's just so overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely. You had I think it was an Instagram story recently that resonated with me. You were like, you were going to go get a massage or something. And you were just like, as your business grows, as your, you know, brand grows, like you really need to make that time and prioritize health, because otherwise it's like, you lose steam. You kind of lose that passion and that forward momentum because you're not repleting yourself.
Totally. And then we form a negative association with success because we're like, oh, cool. So I hit that revenue goal and I feel terrible. And like my health is shit and I had to really hustle. So that's been a really key like reprogramming practice and like the massaging, like, you know, I just started a couple months ago getting massages every week. That's been like a game changer. Yeah. The health component and adding in those self-care things is absolutely huge for like sustainable success and just mental well-being. Like really so important.
Yeah. Yeah. So since we're on like the topic of self-care, aside from the massages every week, do you have any self-care practices that help you recharge? And if so, you know, what are your non-negotiables around that space?
So movement is definitely there in self-care, although it wasn't always the greatest. It was always still there to some degree. Dance is probably one of my favorite acts to do, and not like a crazy dance, but even just, you know, slow movements in the morning to kind of get me tapped into my body. I love bubble baths, but right now it's summer and it's hot as hell.
Right.
Using those, meditation for me is self-care. And then honestly, travel, because I travel so much, I'm always saying the nicest like resorts and like really treating myself to whatever I can do in that realm. So there's a variety of things that I use, but it's really just, I mean, it always evolves with where we're at. And I just always ask myself, like, what would feel really good right now, and not trying to make it overly conscious. Like sometimes for me, it's literally Netflix, you know, and that's great. So it's just, I've like kind of steered away from like, well, let's do everything like super, super conscious, and just like being a human and really asking myself what makes me happy. That's self-care for me.
Oof. I like that. It's like reestablishing that connection and communication with yourself. Cause I think that we get so detached, not just from ourselves, but from everyone, from nature and all of that stuff, and really tapping in and asking yourself like what it is that you're craving, what you're wanting, what you're needing is super, super important. Instead of like, let me check my calendar. Like what's on my schedule? Mm-hmm. Like it's just, yes. I like that. What sort of entrepreneurial tricks or hacks have you discovered to keep you focused and productive during your day?
So honestly, for me, like, and I say, I'm a big, big, like, believer in visualization, huge. And I don't are utilizing it to the degree that it should be. And for me, I'm really a scientist of the subconscious mind. And because I've done so much deeper work in that state and I've reprogrammed like what it is that I'm working for in my mind, I actually take action very regularly and it never feels like I have to manage myself. And that's the beautiful part about our subconscious is that it's actually there to help you by building these habits. But when we don't put in a new program to support us and we just kind of throw ourselves into it, we burn so much energy trying to figure out how to do it. The subconscious is the conscious. So for me, it's really been like a more woo practice of that in building that image within myself. So I'm naturally motivated to go and make that happen and flow the day. That's on a like a real level of what I believe has been like the key for me. And then other little things have been, of course, hiring a team and getting off social media. I think that that's probably the biggest problem for all entrepreneurs now. And so I have an app on my phone that like blocks my usage. So I'm on for no longer than an hour. And I make sure that I like walk during the day. Like I'll take breaks and I'll walk.
Oops. Sorry. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties. We lost Katie for a second, but we are going to dive right back in. Basically, I was going to ask you, to talk more into the, you talked about managing yourself and how like by working with your subconscious, you are able to kind of not have to worry about managing yourself anymore. And yeah. I think what you're kind of going to dive into, which I love, is like that fact of not having to get into decision fatigue because you're like, you've already reprogrammed all of those sort of neuronal pathways. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, I love this conversation so much. Yes, absolutely.
Let's just dive into it then.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really about like when we anchor that subconscious self image within us, then we start to naturally act like that person. So what you were just saying about the decision fatigue, so many people struggle with that during the day because they're acting like their old self. Mm-hmm. They're acting like the fearful self, the newbie entrepreneur, like whatever it is. And so when you actually just do that work to get your energy aligned with like the person that you're becoming, the one who already has all of those things, that degree of success already, you just make decisions from that place naturally.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I love that. Awesome. Any other things that you do during your day to help you stay focused?
I love music. Music really helps me. I listen to like binaural beats during the day. That really helps me. And also just like making sure that I'm doing things that light me up and then I'm not doing the things that I shouldn't be doing, because I'm not going to stay focused on something that I hate. And obviously in the beginning of anyone building their business, there's going to be things that you have to learn and that are awkward and you don't like as much. But the goal and the intention is for you to increase your revenue to the degree where you can outsource those things. So the things that you are actually doing. So for example, like this is on my work day, but like, I love doing interviews and I don't have a problem staying focused for this because I enjoy it. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing with like coaching calls or creating content and like everything else in the business, I probably wouldn't focus on as much because I don't want to do it. So I just don't do those.
Totally. I always tell my clients too, the dad principle, you know, delete, automate, or delegate whenever you can.
Yes. Deleting is a huge one too. Oh my God. Like I always have my clients like look at, like keep track of everything that they're doing throughout the day and ask yourself, like, what is actually moving the needle here?
Yes.
Because there's so many do it and being like hard today, but it was like, what did you really get done?
Yeah.
You
know? So, yeah. It's just a bunch of busy work.
Yeah.
Awesome. What are your favorite blogs or podcasts? Are there like three or so that you can't imagine your day without?
That's so good. You know, it's so funny. Like I actually paused listening to a lot of podcasts just because I've been in such creator mode. And so like for me, the consumption is kind of taken a scale back, but I would say I love the Lively Show with Jess Lively. I love her so much and what she's doing in the world. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with her work. I'm recently loving the Mind Your Business podcast.
Oh yes. James Wedmore. He's awesome.
Wedmore's awesome. Yeah, that's super great. I'm also listening to Oprah's new podcast. I get down on like a lot of random little things, but those ones come up to mind.
Awesome. Very cool. Okay. So if you had a little magic in your pocket, what is the one thing that you would change in the world?
Oh, that is such a good question. I like want to go so deep into that.
Do it.
The truth is, like, I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that because I don't know why it's not changing yet. And I believe that there's a greater evolutionary purpose behind all of that. And that there's lessons to be learned. But I would say as like a, you know, something little, it's just that everyone would have to meditate every single day. I think that even if it was just 10 minutes, everyone around the world meditating every like 10 minutes a day, that would be great. That'd be a great change to start.
I love it. Why is meditation? There's so much resistance around meditation for so many people. And I think it's, I don't know what it is. Like, why is it so hard for us to take that leap? And so
it is because people aren't really taught how to do it properly and they think that they're bad at it. And I mean, the amount of time I hear from people like, I just have so many thoughts. I'm like, do you think you're like unique or something? We all are like absolutely crazy. But I think that when you go through the beginning stages of like awkwardness and making it a forceful thing, like, you know, for me, the first, like, probably 2 years were like, oh, I have to meditate type of thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, yay, meditation, like my safe space, mm-hmm. you know? So I think it does take a little bit of a learning curve for people to actually get a find within them. And then you kind of become addicted to it.
Totally. And it's into, like, it has to do with our habit forming capabilities too, right? Like I always tell people, like if meditation's totally, totally new to you, just start with like 1 minute a day, every single day, just commit to one single minute. And then like, once that's easy, like start bumping it up, you know, just like having that tangible stepwise But yeah, I totally get that. Awesome. Okay, here's where the fun starts. What is your current project or passion?
Oh, I have so many things. I have so many. But what I've been really passionate about is this course that we just created, Confident Content, which I know that we were talking about it earlier. This has been such a beautiful creative birthing process because I work with a lot of coaches building their business, and so does my business partner, Kiara Mizuko. And what we were seeing is that a lot of people teach kind of like strategies around like, here's your brand, like here's your offer, like here's whatever, but no one really goes deep into content creation. And that's the way that everyone builds successful online businesses, is by the content they're creating. And so we really put our heads together to form a course and really an experience is go through how to become effective content creators so they can build and scale their business. And so my work is really in the mindset and the self-image, in flow states, in the energy and the leadership embodiment. And then my business partner, Kiara, is really about like the strategy, like the tactical, like the languaging. Like we really just came together in such a beautiful co-creative process, and it was so much fun for us to do. So that's really, really what I'm super passionate and into right now.
That's awesome. I'm going to try, if I can, to figure out how to link to your live video that you did with Kiara on Facebook so that people can check that out, because I want people to look at that and to hear more about this offer, because it sounds awesome. I definitely want to do it myself. So, yeah. Is there anything that we didn't ask you that you want to share with our audience?
You know, I'd love to hear from you guys. Like, I always love giving, like, what is it that you think that your audience needs to know more of?
Good question. Denise, do you have any input?
Yeah, I'm thinking. I mean, I think like very tactile things. Okay, yeah, I know I'm kind of spinning out. Or yeah, I know I'm doing I'm busy all day, but I'm not doing the right thing. So something that they could actually do and integrate into their day to disrupt that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I'm really into like the tactical advice too. That's why I ask, because it's like, it sucks when we can't actually apply what we're learning, exactly. You know, So to go into a little bit about what you were saying with like, you know, like the busyness and doing things that we don't need to be doing. One of my first prescriptions for everyone with now being, and this is a very tactical, realistic thing for people to do, although a lot of people resist it, is putting time in your calendar for 1 hour of a day where you don't have anything planned other than being. And this isn't being like, oh, it's at the end of the day and I just gotta like rush and like, da, 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 like take a shower and do nothing. Like it's really intentional. So you can be with what's trying to move through you and just see where you want to take yourself and have that form of connection with yourself. Because what I think a lot of people do is that they look at what everyone else is doing and they're like, oh, I should be doing this on social media. I should be doing this email. I should be building this funnel. Into themselves to be like, what do I want to do right now? What's aligned for me and my vision? And forming that intuitive connection with ourselves for me is the key to success in anything that we do. And if we really just carve that time for being, we're not only disengaging our nervous system, becoming healthier, more present and happy people, we're allowing creative ideas to move through us that are actually in alignment to us as our intuitive creative selves and not what everyone else is doing. So I think that that is something that like everyone can begin implementing, no matter how much resistance they have towards it. Because the truth is, when you sit down with yourself or you don't have anything planned, a lot of people are so doing all the time that they haven't been with themselves and just the being place. But all of the growth really happens from that. So that is that's something for me that I usually like to give people.
I love it.
I love that too. It reminds me of, we talk about white space a lot, and I think I like the term being better than white space. Just like being present with yourself, which I don't know, for a lot of people, maybe that's a scary space, but
it is.
It's necessary. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And especially for like high achievers and like really stressed out people, it's kind of like, no, we need to be doing something. And it's really, oh, yeah. We're okay. this moment. And, you know, that's the thing with all entrepreneurs, we're always chasing something and you always want to get to the next thing. And it's like, God, like no matter how many goals we get to, it's always like, oh, there's another thing. So it's what is the sum of your life actually looking like? Are you enjoying the moment?
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it.
Totally. Awesome. Yeah. So Katie, I know that our audience is going to want to look you up. So how can they find you?
Yeah. So pretty much I'm all over Instagram. I'd say that's my number one platform. So @CATY, or my podcast, Sexy Soul Radio, is also on iTunes, but that's pretty much where I hang out the most.
Awesome. Perfect. We will link to all of your social media, your YouTube channel, your podcast, everything on the show notes. So I just want to thank you so much for your time today. That was awesome. I loved getting to know you. I know our audience did as well. So just thanks so much. And I'm so excited to see what you come up with next.
Thank you, Michelle. So grateful for you and everything that you're doing. It's just awesome.
And that's a wrap. Isn't Katie a total badass? I'm just like soaking up her content like crazy right now and getting super inspired. If you are a content creator yourself, I highly recommend signing up for her Confident Content course with Kiara Mazzucco. They are seriously a dynamic duo and they're on fire. I will list all the deets in the show notes for you. If you haven't done so yet, please head over to iTunes and leave us a quick review. It only takes a minute and it helps us reach other women just like you. Also, be sure to tune in next week where Denise and I share some of the products, people, and practices that leave us feeling wealthy. So thanks for tuning in and showing up. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Females in Fine Fettle from Wiped Out to Wealthy, a podcast to fit your lifestyle. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, rate, and review at femalesinfinefettle.com. If you have questions or topic ideas for upcoming episodes, we'd love to hear from you. Please be sure to tune in next week.